Radio Bilingue presents a town hall meeting on the census count and the Voters' Choice Act in Fresno County. The town hall was hosted by Congressman T.J. Cox and California Secretary of State Alex Padilla and was recorded live at the Selma Arts Center on February 18, 2020. Before a gathering of nearly 200 attendees, Congressman Cox and Secretary Padilla discussed steps to ensure an accurate census and efforts to count hard-to-count communities such as the young children, the homeless, and families with undocumented members. They also discussed the new election procedures and voting centers under the new voting system established by the Voters' Choice Act. Samuel Orozco, News Director for Radio Bilingue, was the moderator.
I'd like to welcome you all to this town hall meeting. The town hall meeting is being hosted by Congressman T.J. Cox. We have, as a guest speaker, Secretary Alex Padilla, Secretary of State. I am your moderator, Samuel Orozco. I'm the news director at Radio Bilingue here in Fresno. And again, as I mentioned before, this program is going to be recorded and it's going to be broadcast later this week. We know that there is plenty of questions, confusion out there in terms of the census count and in terms of the new election procedures, voting procedures, especially in Fresno. And we would like to contribute to clarify those questions and those doubts out there. Again, this program is going to be focusing primarily on the election matters, election procedures, election systems, and is going to be focusing on the census count, on the need to get everyone in town, everyone in District 21, everyone in the area to make themselves counted, not to just get ourselves count, but get everybody else to count. This is extremely important for our communities, and we would like to contribute Radio Bilingue, to get our people an idea of how important this is. And that's the reason why Secretary Padilla, Alex Padilla, is here as part of a statewide tour to, again, answer questions in regards to the census and in regards to the election system that he's in charge of in California. Así que, welcome again. And before we continue, let me first take a moment to recognize some distinguished people who are part of the audience today. First, let me recognize the Honorable California Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, who's here with us. Secretary Padilla, welcome. Thank you for visiting the area, all the way from Sacramento, Secretario. We have Jacob Villagomez. He's a state senator. He's a district director for State Senator Melissa Hurtado. Jacob. We have Felicia Matlos. She is at the office of State Assemblyman Joaquin Arambula. Felicia. We have with us Maria Lemus. She is also at Joaquin Arambula's office, State Assemblyman Joaquin Arambula's office. Maria Lemus. And we have Magdalena Gomez. She is a trustee with the State Center Community College System. Magdalena. So I'm pleased now to introduce the host of this gathering. He is Congressman T.J. Cox. He's a representative for District 21, and Selma is in the heart of District 21, as you know. He's been in the office for the past year and a half. Congressman T.J. Cox. So now let's give a warm welcome, before we continue to this program, a warm welcome to the students from Selma High. They are the Colors Guard. Thank you. We're the students of Selma High School. Let's continue with the program. Now, We'll have some opening remarks. I would like to introduce Congressman T.J. Cox. Let's welcome again Congressman T.J. Cox. He's now the representative for District 21 again. He's an engineer by training. He's a businessman, and he's now representing a district with a number of challenges, by the way. Number of challenges that he is inheriting in these years. We've been following with attention some of the recent actions, like the Clean Water Bill, to make improvements in those towns around the valley, those towns that are suffering from contaminated drinking water. And we're also in the newsroom of Radio Bilingue, also observing, watching closely the fate of the bill to legalize farm workers, to develop the modernization of the farm workforce. So, sin más, Congresista T.J. Cox, bienvenido.
Well, thank you so much, Sam. Can you hear me okay? Well, thank you everyone so much for coming out tonight. What a full house. I mean, what a great illustration of really democracy in action. And once again, thank you to the Selma High Junior ROTC program for presentation of your colors. And I also want to call out and thank our law enforcement that's here tonight, the Selma PD, you know, who keeps us safe each and every night so we can go to bed and know that we're going to wake up safely. So thank you so much for our law enforcement everywhere.
Thank you, Congressman Cox. Now, our guest speaker for today is Secretary Alex Padilla. He has served as Secretary of State for more than 5 years. Before that, he was a state senator. He earned a degree in engineering from MIT and worked as an engineer back in Los Angeles, his hometown, until Proposition 187 hit the state. A couple of months ago, we in Radio Bilingue marked the 25th anniversary of the proposition, and Secretary Padilla gave us his testimony about the impact that Proposition 187 had on his career and his life. He dedicated his life to public service after that. The rest is history. Latinos are now much better represented in Sacramento, and Latinos, nobody can ignore Latinos, the voting power is there. Now we need to just educate our community to exercise that responsibility, the vote, participating in the public decision-making process in our communities. Secretary Padilla.
Thank you. Well, thank you, and good evening, everybody. Thank you for not just allowing me to visit, but to return to Selma. I've made it a point throughout my time as Secretary of State to visit the Central Valley as much as possible. Home for me is Los Angeles. My main office is Sacramento. A lot of focus on the Bay Area, a lot of focus on Los Angeles, and even San Diego. Not enough focus from a statewide basis on the Central Valley, but it's near and dear to my heart. So I hope I've seen many of you during the course of many, many visits, not just to Fresno, not just to Bakersfield, but a lot of wonderful communities in between as well. Eager to get started on our program tonight because we have some very important and timely topics. You know, Election Day is in 2 weeks from today. People who vote by mail, maybe they voted already or are voting literally as we speak. And while the March primary is literally March 3rd, starting March 14th, 15th, a lot of us will be getting instructions on how to participate in the census. So having a timely conversation of why the census is important and all the opportunities there will be to participate in the census, the timing couldn't be more perfect. So I want to thank your Congressman, Representative T.J. Cox, for the invitation and for his office organizing this evening's event.
Well, from one engineer to another, glad to see more engineers here in the Central Valley, and then certainly in elected government. But thank you, Sam and Radio Bilingue, for moderating tonight and for broadcasting the town hall. And certainly thank you for everyone, once again, for coming out. It's such a once again, a reflection of the democracy to be able to come out and talk about the issues that matter to the people. As you may know, that we have an office, our district office, one here in Selma and one down in Bakersfield. The district office is right across the street from the city hall, just a couple of hundred yards from here. And, you know, we're there to serve you. And you may have seen, some of you may have picked up our year in review when you came in. If there's not enough copies, we can certainly get a copy to you. But it shows what we've been doing to assist our constituents. I mean, that's the basic thing that we do each and every day. And last year, I can say that we helped over 100 constituents receive back over $450,000 from the federal government. This year, within the first 6 weeks, that number is already $300,000. And so we're there to help you with Social Security issues, veterans benefits, passport issues, any issue you have at all with the federal government. So please feel free to reach out. I'll say, and we're very serious about that, we work for you. But we're here tonight to talk about two very important issues. One, the census, and two, the new Voter Choice Act and how we're voting here in California. And the census is so important for a number of reasons. The primary reason is money, right? Basically, federal dollars are appropriated out by the number of people in your district. And it comes out to about $2,000 a head per year. So for the decade, in between the decade, you know, it's 10 years between each census, that's 2,000 times 10, $20,000. So if 100 people aren't counted, that's $2 million that we don't get for our schools, our roads, the things that we need. 1,000 people aren't counted, that's $20 million that we don't get. So it's so important that we participate in the census. You know, it funds our school programs, emergency services, senior services, public housing, veterans programs, community centers, literacy programs, parks, and everything else. And so it's just so important that everyone educate themselves and tell their neighbors to participate in the census. I mean, everyone counts. It's also very important to know, and Alex can attest to this, but the census data that is collected is completely confidential. It's not going to be shared with any other agency, with any other person. In fact, it's against federal law by penalty of jail and very serious fines. If that information is released to anyone else. It's going to be important that the census this year is going to be printed in English and Spanish, but then it's available online and with assistance in 13 other languages. So we're trying to make it as accessible to everyone as possible. And I can tell you, since we've been sworn in, you know, we knew that that the census would be coming up this year, and so we've been very active in the Congress, particularly my office, to make sure that we get the representation that we deserve here in the Valley, that everyone gets counted. First, we sent off a letter. I drafted and sent off a letter to the Census Bureau about what was called the split panel test. And this was a test to basically determine where the most help was needed, because rural communities, like our communities, they often are undercounted. So we wanted to make sure that the resources were being directed to where they needed to be. Two, we put out lots of public service announcements. You might have seen me on this or that saying, hey, take part in the census, it's so darn important. And third, we've recently sent a letter to the Census Bureau. My office drafted it ourselves, I drafted it myself, and we got 100 co-sponsors and signers on that letter to say, hey, it was telling the Census Bureau to make sure that we have enough electronic technology and terminals out in places like libraries, mobile service centers, so people could access the census online and get that in. And we wanted to make sure that the terminals were up to date, the equipment was up to date, and these mobile centers were getting out to actually where they're needed. And so this is something that's just so important to each and every one of us here in the Valley in California. And so happy that the secretary was here tonight to help us learn a bit more about that. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Congressman Cox and Secretary Padilla. Just would like to underline some of those math, according to the math from Congressman Cox. If we get ourselves counted, each of us gets make ourselves counted, then we would earn basically $2,000 a year for our community. In other words, $20,000 in those 10 years of the census period. If we multiply this for a family of five, we're talking about $100,000 coming into our communities, thanks to the fact that we just filled up that form, the form of the census, of the 2020 census. I just wanted to underline that particular figure for our listeners to just think about it. Think about what those $100,000 can make for our communities, our towns.
You are listening to a town hall meeting with Secretary Alex Padilla and Congressman T.J. Cox, recorded live by Radio Bilingue at the Selma Arts Center on February 18th.
Okay, well, to continue that conversation that Secretary Padilla mentioned, a conversation about the census, well, let me clarify that, again, this town hall meeting has as a focus the census count and the elections. The new voting system in Fresno, especially due to the new law, basically the Voting Voters Choice Act, brought new procedures to the election. We would like some clarification about that, and Secretary Padilla is here to help explain that. Adelante, Secretary Padilla.
Before we get to the questions, if I may, thank you all again for being here this evening. As part of the opening remarks, Congressman spoke to the census and why it's important, and I wanted to add a little bit to that, as well as giving, if not the nitty-gritty details of the Voters' Choice Act, certainly some of that will come up through the Q&A, but give some of the big picture as to why I felt it was important when first proposing the Voters' Choice Act, because you know, we all learned in high school government class that our democracy works best when as many eligible people participate. So the whole purpose of the Voters' Choice Act is to not just maintain security and integrity of the elections, but to increase participation rates, and we'll explain how we do just that. But coming back to the census for a second, I respect the folks who wanted either an English translation of that performance or, well, you know, what did they just say? I got to tell you, it's you know, we're blessed to live in a diverse state. And a lot of what you heard in Spanish, I'm blessed to be bilingual, so I understood everything they said, and I'll translate most of it for you. But basically, it was an artistic expression of a lot of basic questions that a lot of people have about the census, right? Representative Cox mentioned, look, the census determines not just California's share, but Fresno County's share, Selma's share, of federal funding for the next 10 years. When we talk about federal funding that goes out across the country that's based on per capita or per population, well, how do we know how much will come to California, how much will come to the Central Valley, how much will come to your community? It depends on the census count. And frankly, it's not just a let's do it for the fun of it exercise. It is actually written into the United States Constitution that there shall be every 10 years, a national population count, right? It's a population count in our Constitution, not a citizen count, not an adult count, not a voter count, a population count. Because whether you're an adult or not, whether you're a voter or not, you know, when we call 911 and need the police or the sheriff to respond, right, that affects all of us. You know, levels of fire services, school services, affordable housing, access to health care, those sorts of things. So the little skit that you heard was sort of, again, an artistic demonstration of some of that Q&A. You know, does the baby count? There was a lady holding the baby. Yes, children count. And on that point in particular, let's learn from our recent past. In the 2010 census, the largest undercounted population in California was children under 5 years old. I have 3 kids. My youngest just turned 5. He's the loudest one in the house. Like, I don't know how you can forget your kids under 5, but somehow they weren't all counted 10 years ago. But here's the serious point. In 2010, every 3, 4, and 5-year-old in California today is 13, 14, 15 years old. What's happened in the last 10 years? It's not like they went away and they just came back. Our children have been going to school. The difference is, while our children have been at school, their share of federal funding did not come to the school. You get my point? So if we're wondering why schools don't get the funding that they need, part of it is because we didn't get a complete census count 10 years ago. So ensuring that every person is counted in the census, that's a way to get more funding for our communities without raising taxes, right? Again, funding for education, for housing, for infrastructure, for first responders, et cetera, et cetera. So the census is hugely important for all of us. And that's not a partisan issue. That's for all of us. The other reason census is important is it determines our level of representation in Congress, right? Again, going back to high school government class, why do we have 100 U.S. senators? Easy, it's two per state. 50 states, we get 100. But there's 435 members of the House of Representatives. Yours is right here tonight. How do we know how many will represent California for the next 10 years? It depends on our share of the national population. So one of the big questions is we have 53 representatives currently that make up the California delegation. What's it going to be for the next 10 years? Is it 53? Is it 52? Is it 51? Is it 54? We don't know. It depends on the population count in California and our proportion of the national population. So if you want to make sure that we get our fair funding for our communities and our due representation in Congress, it's important for everybody to be counted in the census. So again, just if you were wondering what they were saying in that skit, it was all those questions. What if I'm not a citizen? What if I'm, you know, a senior citizen? Does my baby count? What if I live in maybe a trailer or a converted garage in the back of a house? All those questions. The bottom line is everybody counts in the census.
Just let me add to that for a second, Alex. So I sit on two committees in the House, Agricultural Committee, and Natural Resources, which deals with things like water. And you know the largest contingent out of any state on both those committees? California, all right? And so having that representation is in Congress is just so darn important to make sure that we have the representation that we deserve and we get the resources that we deserve as well.
And on voting, and I know we're eager to get to the questions that have been submitted, let me say this, because you're beginning to hear, hopefully you've heard at least once or twice already, that Fresno County, not just Fresno City, Fresno County is administering elections in a slightly different way this year, for the better. It's because of a state law, it's not a mandate, but Fresno County, the Board of Supervisors, by a unanimous vote, adopted the Voters' Choice Act. And so let me explain what that is and why. You know, so the old way of voting included this, right? As a voter, you had two options. You can either vote by mail, and that's been gaining in popularity. Doesn't get more convenient than the ballot coming to your home, and you fill it out on your time, and you can send it back. Or if you want to vote in person, like my father does every single time, I know this because guess who takes them to the polls on election day? If you stop and think about it, you're pretty limited in terms of what those options are, right? You have one designated location close to where you live on election day only from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And is that really the most convenient way to do it, right? For folks who work for a living, which is most of us, you know, hardly anybody works 9 to 5 anymore. And I'm from LA. We have this thing called traffic you might have heard of. I don't know if you deal with traffic. If you don't deal with traffic, you at least deal with a commute of some sort, right? So getting out of work, getting home, maybe getting kids from school, getting dinner on the table. Now I got to go stand in line somewhere by 8 o'clock. There's got to be a better way. And there is. You know, when I first came in as secretary, we had done a survey of how other states and other jurisdictions conduct their elections. Yes, from a security standpoint, but also from an accessibility standpoint. And what we put together was all the best ideas into what's known as the Voters' Choice Act. And so starting this year, this is how elections are working in Fresno County. A month before the election, every registered voter gets their ballot in the mail automatically. You don't need to request it. You don't need an excuse. You don't need to be sick. You don't need to be traveling. ballots come to voters who are registered, and you have choices for how to return the ballot. That's why it's called the Voters' Choice Act. You can either mail it back, and by the way, even that is better now because thanks to the legislature and the governor, the return postage is prepaid, which means you don't need a stamp. You don't have to look for stamps. You don't have to wonder, does it need one stamp? Does it need two stamps? Just drop it in the mail and it gets back to you. There's also a new tool called Where's My Ballot? You can subscribe to it through the state and you get reminders and notifications of your ballot at every stage of the delivery process and when it's counted. The county is also installing what are known as ballot drop boxes throughout the county. So kind of like a mailbox, but they're marked clearly for ballots only. And as a voter, you can drop your ballot off at any drop box convenient to you in the weeks leading up to the election. And if you're like my dad and you want to go in person, that gets better too, because we're modernizing polling places as we've known them to what are known in the elections world as vote centers. And in vote centers, you know, when you went to go vote in the polls in the old days, they had the list of all the people from that particular neighborhood, right? And you sign in and you sign the book. And under the Voters' Choice Act, these vote centers actually have access to the list of all the voters in the county. So what does that mean? That means each voter has the flexibility of voting anywhere in the county convenient to you. Maybe it's easier to vote close to where you work. Or maybe it's easier to vote near where you drop your kids off at school, or by the grocery store, or the shopping mall. And it's not just on election day. Vote centers are going to be open for 11 days up to and including election day. So mark your calendar. This coming Saturday, February 22nd, you'll be able to go vote in person at any of the vote centers open in Fresno County. And so you can vote early. You can vote on election day, you can vote on the weekend, you can vote wherever you want if you didn't vote by mail to begin with. So that's what the Voters' Choice Act looks like. Again, both for the census and for elections, the point is we need everybody who's a voter to vote and everybody to participate in the census. This is a big year for civic responsibility. Thank you.
Big year for citizen responsibility and civic responsibility. Let me underline that. And again, thank you all for being here, for being in attendance. And some of you, as I mentioned, submitted questions for the congressman and for the secretary to discuss on the elections and on the census count. We're going to go through some of those questions. Some of those questions, I'm sure, have been already answered in this first presentation. At the end, we're going to go with those questions that you submit on the fishbowl in here, in person. The first question in the mind of many, as we already heard it on the skit, is why is the census important for California and for the Central Valley? How will the census impact rural communities? Why should I make myself count? I think that question has already pretty much been answered by Congressman Cox and Secretary Padilla. If you may want to add a little bit more to that question, if you have any other ideas to points to make.
The only two things I think I would add to what's already been said, right? We've talked about funding, we talked about representation in Congress. For folks who follow the redistricting process, the census is hugely important. It's very difficult to draw fair districts, congressional districts, legislative districts, county supervisorial districts, et cetera, if you don't have good data on the population counts. So that's yet another reason why census participation is so important. The other thing I would add to what's already been said is, as you were all coming in, there's a table that was on the right as you came in, so on the left as you're going out, with representatives from the U.S. Census Bureau. So they're here to help answer any questions you may have. Actually, I will add one more thing, and that's if you're thinking about your schedule. Right, I mentioned that March 3rd is a primary election. March 12th is the day that the Census Bureau begins to mail out instructions on how to participate in the census. So look in your mailbox, March 14th, 15th, somewhere in there, you'll begin to get it. And you're going to get instructions or reminders every couple of weeks until your household participates in the census. Once you do, they're going to scratch your name off the list and stop bothering you. But as long as you haven't responded to the census, they're going to keep trying. They're going to send you letters and letters and letters. The first instructions you're going to get are going to be instructions on how to go online to submit your information in the census. If you don't respond to the first few attempts, eventually they'll send you the form. So you have the online option. That was part of the skit. The paper option. That was part of the skit. And you also have a phone option. So for the first time, you're going to have all three options for how to submit your information through the census. So April 1st is considered Census Day. That's just kind of a big promotional day. A lot of events, a lot of activities. But you can your household can participate before April 1st. And the outreach is going to continue through April, into May, probably into June and beyond, until we make sure everybody participates.
Well, actually,
Let me ask you, is homelessness a problem here in California? How about affordable housing? Funds for both of those programs are dictated by the census numbers. So those are some direct examples about how we are effective if we're undercounted. So once again, so important that each and everyone gets counted, no matter where you are or what your living circumstance is, that those dollars come to us when we get the right count.
You are listening to a town hall meeting with Secretary Alex Padilla and Congressman T.J. Cox, recorded live by Radio Bilingüe at the Selma Arts Center on February 18th.
Another question from our attendees. Can you provide an update on census outreach strategies in our rural communities in the Central Valley, such as Kings County? And are any administrative barriers that you're working to fix?
So part of my role here tonight is not just the Secretary of State, but chair of the California Complete Count Committee. So it's a committee that's set up every 10 years in California to help oversee some of the outreach. Because California knows how important it is, we don't just say, well, the federal government's going to do it, and we're just fine with that. We want to make sure that we're doing our part to get the word out through awareness and through assistance. When the governor called me last year and asked if I would chair the committee, I said, I have a couple questions. Number one, do I get more staff to be able to take on this job? He said, no. I said, okay, well, then will I get more funding to be able to take on this responsibility? He said, no. So I said, okay, then you got a deal. I'm a bad negotiator. But the good thing to report is because of the unprecedented investment by the legislature and the governor on census outreach, they've been able to fund not just some statewide initiatives. So you're going to be seeing some television advertising, some radio advertising, you know, some of the traditional advertising, but also local strategies. And I think that's the spirit of the question. At the county level, there's a whole coalition of local organizations that know how to best do outreach, right? It doesn't all come from Washington. Sorry, not all the best ideas come from Washington, D.C. Not all the best ideas come from Sacramento. The best ideas, especially how to communicate to our neighbors, come locally. And some of the most trusted voices are the local leaders and voices. And so that's who California is investing in, some of the local partners. I see the Cuenta Conmigo t-shirts here, right? So there's a lot of local organizations involved with outreach, because what works great in LA may or may not work here. What works in San Francisco or Sacramento may or may not work here. So you tell us what it is. Is it going door to door? Is it community health fairs? Is it billboards? You know, it's all the strategies are really driven by what works best at the local level. And so for the last year, there's been a lot of planning going into getting ready. But March 15th is go time, so you're going to see a lot of the visible activity starting in the next couple of weeks.
And And just to reiterate what I was saying before, that's something that we very much was focused on the federal side with the split panel test to make sure that we knew where those resources were going to be needed, the populations that were undercounted previously, and the census tech, the readiness, availability to have the mobile centers out to where they could collect data, to have terminals available in libraries and other public places so people can make at least addressed and fill out the online version very, very easily. So we're doing what we can. But as you said, the most important thing is to hear from the locals, right, where the people with the feet on the ground, and how the best things to allow to provide to you to collect this information. And so that's very, very important that we're working on the local, state, and federal level all together.
That's Congressman T.J. Cox. Before we heard from Secretary Alex Padilla, one more question from our attendees. Can you provide an update on funding being allocated to support Census Bureau mobile assistance response teams? And can you explain a little bit about those mobile response teams?
Sure. Yeah, I think, again, it's going to be one of the many strategies to get people to participate. Not everybody responds to the form that gets mailed to the House. So as you're out and about at community events, there'll be, whether it's kiosks or booths or different opportunities for folks facilitating census participation. You know, one of the common strategies throughout the state is cities and schools opening up their libraries, because not everybody has a good quality internet connection at home, or maybe familiarity with the internet. You know, if my dad gets instructions on how to go online, he's not doing it, he's calling me, right? And I have to decide, am I gonna go help him, or am I gonna send my 12-year-old to go help him? Or does he just wait for the paper form? So it's really a, sort of a what I call an all-hands-deck approach. Everybody's doing their part, cities, counties, school districts, community organizations, the traditional press, neighbor to neighbor, but we need to make sure everybody's counted.
Yeah, and certainly the mobile questionnaire assistance centers, I mean, they're meant to bridge this gap, you know, in these hard to count areas, because, you know, 1 in 9 people don't have access to the internet. So this will take them out to them. And you'll have to forgive me, I don't have the exact figure here in front of me, but with regard to the end of year budget last year, basically the Census Bureau's request was fully authorized and appropriated out to ensure that, once again, everyone gets counted.
Something that was mentioned before by Secretary Padilla is that children under 5 are the largest undercounted population in California. And I would say that all over the place is the same reality. The youngest children are the least counted in our population. So this question is in regards to those undercounted population. One of our attendees asks, what can be done to help count our historically undercounted communities, particularly our homeless population and families which have undocumented members? And I could add to the list the young children.
Yeah. So I think we talked, it's going to be a diversity of strategies that are being implemented in each community throughout the state. I'll just share the following to underscore the stakes, right, in the magnitude of the challenge. When we talk about a hard-to-count population, that's an official term from the Census Bureau, because they know, based on past experience, there are certain communities, certain populations that either takes extra work to make sure that they participate, or they just don't participate at the same rates as everybody else. It tends to be very young people, but also our senior citizens, our elderly. Working class communities, right? Lower income families takes more work. Immigrants and immigrant families, immigrant communities. If you put all this criteria together, 70% of California fits some sort of hard to count criteria. So that's why we got to put the work in to make sure that we get our share of federal funding and our fair representation in Congress. Too much is at stake. And so that's why California is stepping up.
70% of California is under the hard to count population category. Wow. So that's that gives you a sense, an idea of the huge challenge we have for the next few weeks. And I understand California, the government, is understanding this challenge. It's probably the state that is investing the most in reaching out to these hard-to-count communities. One more question for Congressman Cox or Secretary Padilla. What protections are in place to protect confidentiality for census respondents?
Well, there is, it's Title 13 of the United States Code, which makes it against the law for any Census Bureau employee to disclose, publish, or make available any information about any individual or business. And the violation of that confidentiality is a federal crime, serious penalties, including a prison sentence up to 5 years and a fine of up to $250,000 or both. And so the security of that census information is paramount. And, you know, and the penalties are in place to ensure that it remains so.
And they cannot be shared even within different branches of the federal government.
Exactly. That's what the federal law and the protections are in place exactly for that reason. You know, when we fill out the census form, it's actually, you know, it's only a dozen questions or so, and all very basic. The most important being how many people live at this address, right? Want that to be one of the big takeaways from this evening. How many people live at this address? Don't forget about the little ones, kids under five, but also because of tough economic times and people living in what some people would consider non-traditional housing circumstances, whether it's multiple families living with you, because you know it's tough out there economically. Don't forget to count the cousins and the nieces and the nephews or whoever may be living with you at that time, or just friends of the family if they're living at that address. People who are living there get counted, period. So that's a hugely important takeaway. But back to the confidentiality question, know this, that when we submit the information, any personal information, names, ages, et cetera, that are submitted by federal law cannot be shared with other departments or other agencies for any other purpose, period. Those federal laws have been clear, they've been in place for a long, long time, and those both federal leaders and state leaders that are vigilant to ensure that those laws are respected and that your information is protected. When you participate in the census, participate with that confidence, knowing that your personal information is private and confidential. Only the data, only the statistical information is shared for policymaking purposes and for funding purposes.
Secretary Alex Padilla.
Before
Secretary
we get Alex to the Padilla. Next question, because I see some of the young people, maybe some of the Selma high school students that are coming in and out of the event. I just want to acknowledge them because one of the many opportunities we have for young people to participate, if they're not quite 18 yet and can't register to vote in California, if you're a citizen, you can pre-register to vote at the age of 16 or 17. So I invite the young people in the audience today, not just yourselves, but your neighbors, your friends, your brothers and sisters, to pre-register to vote at, it's the same address online, registertovote.ca.gov. And I'm just proud because in the last couple of years, more than 500,000 young people throughout California have pre-registered to vote. Of those 500,000, 300,000 have turned 18. Since they signed up, and they're able and ready to vote this March election.
Yeah. That's our hope, right there.
You are listening to a town hall meeting with Secretary Alex Padilla and Congressman T.J. Cox, recorded live by Radio Bilingüe at the Selma Arts Center on February 18th.
Let's continue with the questions, I think we can conclude with a census topic in a minute to continue to clarify the new voting procedures for, especially for Fresno County. In terms of the census, one participant is asking the following: why doesn't the census ask about whether there is a veteran in the household? And that must be coming from a veteran family.
You may know that there's a census tool out there called the ACS, the American Community Survey, which is basically a rolling 5-year average of a bunch of the same type of questions, but it's really on a statistical type of basis. They don't count every household or every person. They take a sampling of census tracts throughout America. And the veterans question is asked in that survey. And so they get an indication of how many veterans are in a census tract and in these households in that survey. It's basically when we ask the question to the Census Bureau, because we ask that question specifically, we want to make sure that we know exactly how many veterans are in our congressional districts, how many veterans have got needs. And what they came back, what the DOD came back, is that they have very, very much more efficient ways of tracking the vets. They know where basically all of them are. And they thought that a 10-year census wouldn't be as effective as the tools that they have now. And so it would be, one, redundant, and two, not as accurate. And so that's what they gave to us. And they do ask, though, a question about whether or not there's any household members that are part of the military, though.
Just add a couple. Secretary Padilla. Just add a couple of other things quickly. One, you know, put differently, the ACS stands for
American Community Survey.
Right, and I think the bottom line there is the U.S. Census Bureau has the word census in it, right? And here we are promoting the 2020 census, which is this annual census. It happens once every 10 years. The Bureau conducts a lot of other surveys in between the every 10-year census, including the ACS and others, for income, for other types of information, and so the veterans' information is captured other ways. I do have a question for the audience, if I might, because I think I see at least one veteran in the audience. Any veterans or active service members in the audience, would you raise your hand or please rise? Can we give you a round of applause for your service? I think I speak on behalf of all of us when we say thank you, because here we are promoting civic responsibility and participation in our democracy, and you're among the many throughout the country that have been willing to put yourselves on the line in defense of our democracy and our way of life. And it's because of that that I was inspired as Secretary of State to launch an Honor Veterans program through the Secretary of State's office. You know, it really saddens me, people who are willing to, again, make the sacrifice. And here we are, privileged to live in a country where if you're eligible, you can register to vote and you can vote, but not everybody does. That's not paying respect to our veterans and service members. And so now you can go on the Secretary of State's website and honor a veteran by making a public pledge to vote in the next election in honor of a veteran or active duty service member. So again, thank you all for your service and for being here tonight.
I was Secretary Alex Padilla from California. You're listening to a town hall meeting in Selma, California, the Selma Arts Center, where they're discussing with Congressman T.J. Cox and with Secretary Alex Padilla two basic items. One is clarifying the census count and encouraging people to make themselves count. And the other major topic is the election system. Fresno County is going through some changes. It's going through a new voting system. It's going to be put in place, and it's going to be exercised in the following 2 weeks, actually, in the primary. And Secretary Padilla is here to clarify much of those new procedures that you're going to find in the ballot coming March 3rd. Again, this is a town hall meeting with the Congressman T.J. Cox and Secretary Alex Padilla. Let's move on to a little bit to the election process, Secretary Padilla. Most of the attendees who submitted questions today indicated that the topic they're most interested in is learning about the election procedures taking effect this year and how the new systems will be advertised, will be promoted to the voters to get the word out. Secretary Padilla, can you give an overview for the audience on the new procedures, what's been done to inform the voters, and how voters can get more information on these procedures should they have more questions in the near future?
Great. And I will try to be brief because I know there's a lot of other questions we're trying to get to. I think I've given the overview of the new election procedures already, right? Everybody gets their ballot in the mail in Fresno County. with choices of how to return the ballot by mail, drop boxes, or these new vote centers. Vote centers are open for 11 days. Any voter can go to any location, and not just to deliver your ballot, if you need a replacement ballot, if you need assistance of some sort, and now we actually have same-day registration available. Technically, today would have been the registration deadline, so if you haven't registered to vote before midnight tonight, you can still go in person to your county elections office or to any vote center starting on Saturday and register and still be able to cast your ballot in Fresno County. As far as what the county is doing to get the word out, I think there's a lot of things from, you know, there may be commercials on your cable television, there's social media that's happening. I've seen it for myself. If you look at both the state's voter information guide and the county sample ballot information that's going out, it has a lot of the information there for you. But to make it really, really simple, because I don't expect everybody to memorize everything, just Google or call the Fresno County Elections Department, and they can answer any questions that you may have. Or you can go to the Secretary of State's website. We put all of our voter information, resources, and tools in one location, vote.ca.gov. Vote.ca.gov. And there you can find information on registering to vote, early voting, the Voters' Choice Act, same-day registration, how to vote for president, because, you know, in a presidential primary, that's the one time where your political party preference determines some of the procedures, so know what the process is before you go vote. For that information and more, go to vote.ca.gov.
So Alex, just to be clear, so one, we don't have to request a mail-in ballot anymore if you're a Fresno County resident, correct? And you can register same day?
Yes, that's new for this year. In 2018, we had the same-day registration opportunity in place, but only at the county elections office. Now it can be at every polling place or any vote center. So if anybody here is from outside Fresno County, you're still doing it the same way. If you're in Fresno County, you're doing it under the Voters' Choice Act. And just so you all know that it's not an idea that we think is good and we're kind of crossing our fingers, in 2018, there was five counties that adopted the Voters' Choice Act. Sacramento County, Napa County, Nevada County, San Mateo County, and Madera County. Right? So this is not new to the Central Valley, just new to Fresno County. 2018 was a great year for us. It had record registration up until that time, and we had record turnout statewide. California had the highest voter turnout in 2018 for a midterm election since 1982. And the five Voters' Choice Act counties all had even higher participation rates. So that's the whole point of all this. Maintain the security and integrity of our elections, but facilitate participation.
And if you want to do same-day registration, it comes on March 3rd or November 6th this year, I think. What do you need to do to show up to register, to prove that you're a registered voter, and well, you won't be a registered voter, but to qualify that you're actually qualified to vote in that,
right. So
that
if
district?
If you look at statute, it's not called same-day registration. That's a term most people are familiar with. Technically, in California, we have conditional voter registration. So if you miss the voter registration deadline, you can show up. You're going to be given, before they give you the ballot, they're going to give you the voter registration form, right? The voter registration form has a couple of key elements. You're asked for either your driver's license number or your state ID number or the last four of your social. When you sign the form, after filling out your name, your address, your date of birth, all that stuff, when you sign under penalty of perjury, right, you attest that all the information there is true and correct, including checking the box that, yes, you are eligible. Then you're given the ballot. But the ballot will not be counted until the county processes your voter registration first. So that kind of ties into another issue. People want to know, well, you know, when are we going to know the results? Is it going to be at 8:01? No. Is it going to be at 10 o'clock? Is it going to be midnight? It actually, we give counties several weeks in California to finish counting ballots for a couple of good reasons. To process these registrations first before they count the ballots, to do post-election audits. If you vote by mail in California, we're what's called a postmark plus three, which means your ballot has to be postmarked on or before election day if you're mailing it back, but we give it a couple days after the election and still count it. It used to be the case that even if you mailed your ballot in early, but it didn't get to the county until after the election, they wouldn't count your vote, right? We're committing to both election security and voting rights. So if the postmark on the envelope is on or before election day, it can arrive a couple days late and still be counted. Your voice will still be heard in the election. That's how it should be. So it's going to take a few weeks to get final numbers after the election. We'll have a pretty good idea on election night, but a few weeks to get final numbers.
Well, this is the new experiment in California, the voting, the voters' rights, the Voters' Choice Act, which is taking place this year in Fresno. And again, similar experiments are going on in Madera County, Nevada County, in San Mateo.
I'll say they're not experiments. This is just a new way of administering elections in a way that's secure and better for voters.
Up to the citizens now to make it work. In other words, to show up at the polls on election day and actually these days, in the days of the early vote, to make it possible, the access, the tools for more open access and open doors are there. Now it is up to us, the citizens, to make it work. Before we conclude this special tape-delayed election and census broadcast, here is some tips for voters in the Fresno County and Madera County areas. Be aware that the ballots have a new look. They have a different size, and you will now fill in inside the ovals. There are 24-hour drop-box locations in the different counties. They will be open until 8 p.m. on election day. If you return your ballot by mail, you will not need postage. Be sure to mail your vote by mail ballot by February the 27th. All vote centers are open beginning Saturday, February the 29th, and in Fresno, 10 vote centers open earlier, beginning on February 22. Vote centers are open on weekends. In other words, mail it, drop it, or visit. Voting in the elections is easier now in California. Now, attention voters, be sure to sign and seal your return envelope and do not give your unsealed ballot to anyone. One more thing, if you're a registered no party preference voter, your enclosed ballot has no presidential contest. In that case, you have three options. One, vote with no presidential candidates. Two, request a ballot for the American Independent, Democratic, or Libertarian presidential candidate. Or three, re-register to vote for a Green, Peace and Freedom, or Republican candidate, in which case the deadline already passed. If you have any questions, call 559-600-VOTE, 844-977-8683. And I repeat, call 559-600-VOTE or 844-977-8683.
You're listening to a town hall meeting in Selma Arts Center with Congressman T.J. Cox and Secretary Alex Padilla, a production of Radio Bilingue. This program will continue after this break.